Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know our gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 210 of the Weekly Cooldown and it is January 25th. And we are at the end of January. We are still at the start of the new year, but it is 25 days into the new year and things are weird. Already, we are already starting off on a weird start. Part of the reason why Paul is not on this episode today is because of that weird start. We're going to do our best to talk about what's going on. I'm sure you've heard about it already, but we'll get into it. We'll get into it. And starting off with some interesting and or bad news already, Piranha Bytes, the studio behind the Gothic, Risen, and Alyx series, recently shared that while they are trying to find a way to continue to work on its next new project, there is the looming fear that the studio may be closing. The studio is owned by Embracer Group, who recently ran into some troubles regarding their $2 billion investment deal, with the group choosing to close a fair amount of studios and lay off employees. Many are speculating that Embracer and Piranha Bytes are working to find a buyer for the studio, echoing the situation that the studio Free Radical Design was put in back in November. Ultimately, the studio closed in December. A representative from Piranha Bytes, however, says that there may be a future for this studio as an indie studio. Nier Reincarnation, the free-to-play mobile game centered in Yoko Taro's Nier universe and the Drakengard series, is set to end pretty soon. This week, Square Enix and Applebot announced that on March 28th, the final chapter of the story arc called The People and the World is to be released, and then a month later, on April 29th, the game will be shutting down for good. The game was released in 2021, nearly coinciding with the release of the remake of Nier Replicant. There is no explanation yet as to why Reincarnation is ending or why players are given only a month to explore its final expansion. What we do know, according to series producer Yosuke Saito, is that there is a new Nier title in the works. Details on what that game is, or if you will need Nier Reincarnation's lore to follow along, is yet to be seen. And finally, the Pokemon Company says that they have launched an investigation and will take appropriate measures regarding, quote, another company's game released in January 2024. This is, of course, regarding Palworld, which has seen a lot of discussion over its CEO's use of AI in past games and the game's alleged copying of designs from Pokemon. The Pokemon Company says that it has not authorized the use of Pokemon intellectual property or assets, and if there is any type of infringement, they will take action. Additionally, a Palworld mod that replaces the monsters and characters with actual Pokemon and a version of Ash Ketchum was up for 24 hours before Nintendo allegedly issued a copyright claim on the mod maker. Likewise, Nexus Mods has declined to host the mod, citing Nintendo's litigiousness. And those are just some of the headlines. It's crazy, right? I know. Listen, I had to write those. If I missed anything, or if you need something else to talk about regarding video games, you can always tweet at me at Kami Jace Gaming or at WK Cooldown on Twitter. Leave Paul alone for now. Paul's having a rough go at things, given all the kind of awful news that's coming out with video games, and I don't blame him. Things are kind of weird right now, but to help us kind of sift through the weirdness, I have my good friend, my old friend is here. My old friend is here to help me out. Help me out. Please welcome back the final counselor, hi. Matt.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, what a wild week / month, huh?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It never ends. It's been a wild last couple of months. It's been a wild year. And now it's just been a wild month and this week alone is just insane in the membrane.
We're continuing our curse. Every time I'm on, something huge happens. So,
it's frustrating, and it's so early, right? Like it still feels like a fresh new year to me, right? New year, new start, all that stuff. But like right now, it's just not any of that.
For like every good thing, there's like, well, the stuff that we've already talked about.
Many
that you've already talked about.
Indeed. Yeah, it's been a rough one, but we are here to hopefully make sense of some things and shed some positivity on all of this. Maybe not. I don't know. But welcome. What have you been up to? What are you doing? What's the world like for you?
I've been so busy lately. The final counselor, I'm not going to say the final counselor is a thing of the past, but it's I've sort of been veering away from that and focusing a lot to give a positive spin for this year, focusing a lot on getting the voice acting career off the ground, which is going well so far. And I'm enjoying that. I still stream, still doing the horror streaming once a week. But you know, some priority shifts and stuff, and of course I'm still gaming like a madman. You know, getting to the point where I'm like, I gotta do something with this career I want to do, or I gotta hang up the microphone, and my microphone is too far from hung up.
Sure.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, where can people hear you? What are you voicing?
Would like to hear, I mean, I have some projects, but I can't really completely talk about at least a couple of them. I know, right? It sounds so secret. I just have, it's an etiquette thing for me more than a NDA thing.
Fair.
But I currently joined the cast of Chad, a Fallout 76 story. You can hear me on there as Captain Ryan Sinclair of the Enclave, if you know the Fallout universe. I will also be in a few entries of Frontiers Stories from the Starfield, which is an anthology series based around Starfield, the game as well. And if you, it's a weird way to pitch this, but it's gotten people interested. And if you want to hear me grunting and killing people, check out the demo of Pinewood Valley on Steam, where I am an 80s slasher killer, that you can hear me. If you know me, you'll be able to tell I'm there. Making rounds.
Very cool. Especially being on, I mean, you kind of, I don't want to, I hate the term cut your teeth. It's a very annoying term to me. But you did kind of cut your teeth on horror, as it were. So now you're kind of making a kind of triumphant return to that as a character in a project that is not your own, right? Okay. It is a little indie studio.
Cold Chop Studio, I believe, is putting it together. It should hopefully be out in a little bit. I know they're releasing information every so often with new maps and stuff that they're working on, so.
Yeah. Very cool. That's a great start into a brand new field.
Yeah, just starting out. So let's get this year. Let's put some positivity into this year.
Absolutely. So you say that you are playing games. What are you playing?
The amount of time it would take. But right now I'm on a weird Pokemon kick. I just finished. Okay. Scarlet and Legends Arceus, and now I'm for some reason working backwards through the series. So I found Shining Pearl for the Switch for half off. So I'm playing through that right now. Lots of indie horror games per usual, and then Ni No Kuni 2 and Dio Field Chronicle. So I'm on kind of an RPG kick too, both of them I'm very much enjoying. I'm just kind of playing whatever. Oh god, and of course Baldur's Gate 3. How could I forget that I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah, It's interesting that that game still has legs for so far, yeah, a lot of people.
Well, it's I know people who are on like their third playthrough at this point, and they're like, oh yeah, and I'm playing through different, and I'm getting all these different scenes, and I'm it's kind of like, I mean, I know it's not everybody's game of the year, but it's still kind of a marvel how crazy branching that game can be, and some other games mm-hmm. coming out recently too. It's a lot of really cool stuff that's been in the works that's finally releasing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very cool. What is this playthrough looking like far? What are you playing as? What's the race?
That's right.
What's
the class? You're a tabletopper too, so I forgot.
Massive D&D human.
I am currently, I believe, I started out as one, and then I got to the end of Act 1 and came back and started again, because that's what pretty much everyone has done. But right now I am a half-elf bard, which has been a lot of fun. And of course, romancing half of my party, because who hasn't been doing that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm trying to sort of toe the line between, like, not evil, but might be out for myself a little bit, but still doing ultimately the right thing. It's hard not to fall into a character when you're playing this game. You've been playing it, right? Or you have played it, or?
Oh, for sure. Like, without a doubt.
Just, like, you just look into a character. It's very easy with the dialogue and how it's written and presented. It's very cool.
Yes, absolutely. Subclass do you think you'll be going for this time? What college is your bard a part of?
I don't know D&D that well. It's literally one of the only tabletop systems I haven't explored a lot.
I know. Really?
I played Pathfinder. I'm powered by the apocalypse. I'm like starting to know in and out. But D&D was not one that I hooked on to. I think it's the College of Lore. Does that sound right? Yeah, yes, I just recently got my specialization, so I'm toying around with it. But yeah, it's very fun very to cool. explore while I'm also learning the system kind of through the game.
Right, exactly. Very cool. Now you say you stream once a week. What's on stream this week?
So fun fact, I usually stream on Thursdays. On stream right now is chatting with you, which I'm very happy to be doing instead.
Right.
I'm trying to remember I've been playing a lot of very short games that I can play in like one sitting on stream. Mm-hmm. Last week was a game called Eschaton, which is about like checking out this this manor in the wake of this cult that's trying to bring on the end of the world. And it was like a half an hour long game. It was neat. I don't know. People tend to shove a lot of really cool stuff into that time. And then could I tell you what the other one was that I played? Of course not. Because my mind is frazzled with, 500 other games. I bet I could. A game called Rise of Insanity, which was like, ooh. It was neat. It was kind of like your basic, you know, walk around, find things, try not to get killed.
Sure.
It was neat, though, for like the $5 I think I got it for. And just...
So it's like, I don't want to compare it necessarily, but something akin to like an
Amnesia. Yeah, which is another series that I'm digging into right now too.
Nice.
But yeah, it was very much like a walk around, solve a couple of puzzles, have some plot thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was cool.
Very cool. Have you heard of and or touched El Paso Elsewhere?
I have heard of, have not touched yet, but I have heard of.
Okay. I think you should.
Well, I mean,
for no other reason other than I love that game. I think you will love that game.
I'm going to make sure. I'm going to go wishlist it on my phone right now so I can make sure that I remember.
Perfect. Excellent. El Paso Elsewhere, for those who have been listening for a while, and maybe if you haven't, Still top tier for me. Top number one game of 2023 for me. Was nominated for Steam Story Rich Game of 2023. Unfortunately, did not get the flowers it deserved, in my opinion, as an indie game from a very cool indie developer who is still making another what sounds to be ridiculous but amazing game.
Oh, this does look cool. Okay.
And if you've ever liked spooky things, vampires, werewolves, and also somehow Max Payne, you will enjoy this game. You will really enjoy this game. But yes, El Paso Elsewhere. Very cool game. So, later on in the show, we have news. None of it is really good. We're going to talk... Well, some of it is good. We're going to talk about Netflix games. We're going to talk about Blizzard. So, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the show. Stick around, nerds.
I must be on Mars. We were starting descent. Oh, Higa! Lichu! Are you there?
Cheka, a science fiction audio drama, season 2.
So I really am alone.
Back to what happened, prisoner.
You don't know what happened on Earth?
As you probably know, Mars broke contact with Tellus Jigov many sols ago.
Earth went silent the year I turned 8, and we haven't heard anything from there since.
I have better things to do than listen to these fairy tales.
Can you for one moment imagine that I am exactly what I tell you I am? What would it take for you to believe that?
If your story is a bit more plausible, that'd help.
Loyalty can stretch many ways. Seems like you're quite adept at keeping secrets yourself.
If needed, yes.
Cheka, Season 2. For more information, please visit y2kpod.com/Cheka. That's C-H-A-I-K-A.
I thought I wouldn't feel alone anymore once I got here, once I connected with some humans, but I feel more alone. I only had my mom and then Higa and Lichu, and I never questioned if I could trust them. It took me a while to consider them friends, but now I have no one.
Hello, welcome back to the show. So, two news stories very quickly out of the gate. Netflix games is apparently doing very well. So we will talk about why and how and what we think about the future of games as far as Netflix is concerned and maybe as far as everything is concerned. And additionally, Microsoft, 1900 layoffs announced this week. We'll be discussing that. But of course, starting with Netflix. Netflix games apparently doing very well, according to Netflix itself. The fiscal earnings in 2023 tripled for its gaming engagement. Netflix is citing its success as Grand Theft Auto. The trilogy, the remake trilogy, released in December, was, according to Netflix, its most successful gaming launch in the company's gaming history. Apparently, some Netflix users signed up just to play the trilogy. Other games you can find on Netflix's gaming app includes Dead Cells, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Shredder's Revenge, and much, much more. In 2024, Netflix is bringing Hades into its gaming library as well. So I found this weird.
Well, thank God I'm not the only one.
For a few reasons. We were just talking last episode about streaming video games in general, right? You have kind of games as a service really becoming a real thing. Ubisoft says, you know, you better get used to not owning your games anymore. Xbox seems to be really leaning into Games Pass for the most part. Palworld, for example, as we spoke about, is on Games Pass. It is extremely popular at the moment. It's the new thing, right? People are really getting into it, and I assume Xbox has a little to do with that as well, with accessibility. And then you have Netflix, right? Netflix, not known for being the best when it comes to accessible content. Streaming was really big and popular, you know, when we decided we didn't want to rent their CDs anymore. And then instead of kind of leaning into that, they went with original programming, but then they also started canceling that original programming. And then they also wanted to crack down on passwords. They wanted to raise the amount you have to pay. Ads were then a thing. The business model for Netflix evolves quicker than you can say Netflix. But it seems like once you put gaming into the mix, right, especially when it comes to licensing and streaming and all that stuff, it becomes a little bit more nebulous, in my opinion. Like, it's, you're entering a very murky water where we're kind of talking once more about that, do I actually own this thing, right? Because, you know, if Netflix cancels a show, you don't have that anymore. That show is lost to the ether. If everyone decides that they're going to, you know, not host this game anymore on, like, if the Grand Theft Auto remake trilogy just disappears from all platforms and Netflix is the sole owner of the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, like, you can't own it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's gone forever. Once Netflix decides, yeah, we don't need to host this anymore, goodbye. And I'm thinking again of Stadia too. Oh, geez, right? Yeah. Stadia had a few exclusives where, and those are gone. Like, you cannot get those anymore. So I feel weird about this. I'm happy in a way that they're making games accessible in some way, right? You have to pay for it, but it's accessible, right, in some way. But I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I don't. So first of all, I mean, I'm glad Netflix Games is, and I say this with very big air quotes, doing very well. This story, mm-hmm, is the most I've heard about Netflix Games in some time. So I didn't even remember,
right,
that they had games, which I feel a little bad saying now, because they also, sure, had like Oxenfree 2, I believe, was another one. And I, mm-hmm, was looking forward to that incredibly. And I haven't played it yet, but that was another one that they were touting a little bit, like the GTA stuff. I'm also one of the people who, and this is harkening back to kind of the same story, but looking at Netflix again, anyone who has played Dead by Daylight, knows, mm-hmm, about the Stranger Things collaboration that they had, where you got a couple of survivors and a killer from Stranger Things. And then the contract ran, yeah, out, and those characters were gone. Now, thankfully, in that situation,
yep,
you could still use them. But as far as I know, the company had to like change a whole bunch of things, and now it's back because whatever happened behind the scenes happened. But like, Netflix is fickle. Just in general. Yeah. I'm a huge game preservation person. I'm like, we need ways for games to stay preserved. And like you said, what if everybody drops this except for Netflix for some reason? What if they buy the rights, right, to XYZ thing and it's only distributed through them, and then they decide not to do it anymore? It's like a weird slippery slope.
It is.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said. I think a lot of people enjoy the accessibility, mm-hmm, part, right? The paying monthly, yearly, whatever, for their subscription to be able to just turn on the TV and there it is. But I think that in exchange for that, we are giving up a lot of control to these companies in a way that we don't realize, right? A lot of people seem to like to go back and have their nostalgia trip every now and then and, you know, revisit like Super Mario 64 or something like that. And if you're not able to get that emulated, you have to go through like the Nintendo Switch store or something like that to get that game. And even Nintendo has a tendency after a few years, right, when a new console comes out, they stop supporting their own store in favor of a new store. And then you're just continually buying something that you don't technically own. It's something that Nintendo lets you kind of rent forever until they decide that they don't want to let you rent it anymore and you have to buy it again. And it's a vicious cycle, I think, of kind of letting go of like almost like equity, right? Like you don't have your own stake in this game anymore. You are giving a lot of control to the company that makes the game to allow you to play it even. And the same thing with movies and TV, I think, right? We are giving a lot of control to streaming companies at this point to tell us what we get to see, what we get to enjoy. And when we enjoy something and then it's canceled, and then they, like HBO, decide to just purge the system of those movies and TV shows, you don't get it anymore unless you had like really go into the deep end, probably.
It's streaming such a great thing until it's not. It's really what it comes down to.
And then you get into emulation. And
piracy, which, like, let's be honest.
Right.
How many people have said because of how Netflix operates, they're going to start pirating stuff because shows keep getting canceled and then they aren't accessible anymore. And, like, I mean, even, I have a lot to say about streaming, but it comes down to it's great until it's not, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And my hope is that there is some willingness on the part of people like Netflix and even Xbox and hopefully at some point Ubisoft, right, to listen to consumers who still hold on to physical media and who still care about video game preservation and, you know, who are not beholden just to market forces. We are in an era, as we've said now, of like extreme digital content. And I would hope that there is some part of the developers, some part of the producers and the big companies that still say like, we're gonna let you continue to own these games. Like, we see that there's a market for it at least, so we are going to make sure that you still have access to them in a way that is tangible. And fingers crossed.
Yep.
Alrighty. Easy peasy. Asked and answered. Done and dusted. Here's the harder, discussion we need to have, and it's all about Microsoft. Microsoft has announced layoffs of 1,900 employees, particularly at Activision, Blizzard, and Xbox. This amounts for about 8% of the workforce at Microsoft's gaming division and comes just a few months after the merging of Activision Blizzard and the exodus of Bobby Kotick. We're also learning that Mike Ybarra, Blizzard's president, decided to leave the company as well, alongside Blizzard's chief design officer, Alan Adam. And lastly, amid all this news, Blizzard's previously announced survival game project is being canceled as well, with many of the employees still at Activision Blizzard ABK moving on to other promising new projects at Blizzard, says Microsoft. This also, of course, comes on the heels of what many gamers have described as a great year for games in terms of releases in 2023, and as markets project growth in gaming, especially with regard to MMORPGs, by upward of 10% in 2028. So, we've had this conversation on this show I don't know how many times, billions of times, if not thousands of times, if not hundreds or whatever. It's been a long time. Other than it is terrible that this has to happen, I don't know what else to say at this point. Like, it is frustrating, right? Because we are, as I said, on the kind of peak of gaming, right? People talk about video games a lot in terms of markets and money, revenue, right? It's almost as big, if not bigger, than football and music combined at this point. There's a lot of money sloshing around in the industry, and the people who are really making this industry big, the developers and the marketing teams and all those people, are being hit really hard because apparently companies aren't making enough money. But at the same time, it's the biggest time to be making money. So what do we think's happening?
I mean, real big umbrella term is just corporate greed. I only follow these stories when they get to a certain size, especially Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. I've tried to avoid aside from the bad news, because really they've for the most part in the past just shown to be a toxic cesspit. Sorry, Activision Blizzard fans. I like some Blizzard stuff too, but like, let's throw brass tacks. This coming after the merger and also after them having an amazing year fiscally is that you can only really describe it as disgusting. And this going on and seeing, like, yes, all these people have been laid off, but as well as, and I'm using not a specific story, well, kind of a specific story here, but talking about, you know, a lot of community managers and a lot of all these other, like, community stuff is so important and has been so important for a lot of Xbox games getting to the point where they're at right now. I understand the concept of, like, consolidating and redundant jobs and blah, blah, blah. But it's such a slap in the face to the people who, like, made these games what they are at this point. And am I shocked to see the names Microsoft and Activision Blizzard in this? No, unfortunately. Xbox a little bit, because Xbox has been pretty, I don't want to say spotless, because it's not, but, like, they've been playing ball relatively well, so clearly I feel like I know where I want to put a little more of the blame here. I mean, there are, I say this with really, again, big air quotes, some pluses to this, in that usually when we see this happen and we see this many very talented, especially some of the names, Mike Ybarra and Alan Adam, you see other smaller studios start to spring up from these groups of people.
Right.
And that's the one thing that I'm really hoping is going to come from this, is we are going to see some really passionate, like, strong-minded people who are going to drag good out of this situation and come together into these groups, because this has happened before, and that is what happens, and we get some really good and really well-intentioned companies out of it. But this is what a mess.
We can only hope. I mean, if we people have been counting the way that this year has been going on so far. In 2023, it's estimated that around 10,000 people were laid off. As of just 25 days into January, we are apparently already at half of that. So we're about 5,000 layoffs in just at the beginning of 2024.
And that's a frightening number. Meanwhile, you have Microsoft having just laid off these people, seeing their stock prices rise just today, about 50%, 60% almost, and is now being valued at somewhere near $3 trillion as a company. So I guess at what point, like, this is all such a big money game, right? I would hope and pray that any kind of new, smaller company is kind of worker-owned and operated. But I do recognize that with that comes the kind of tight-fistedness of funds, right? If you cannot get money into even a worker-owned and operated company, you're doomed to fail before you even start. And then there's, of course, unionization, which can help secure that kind of security that you might have at an Activision Blizzard or at a, you know, Ubisoft, which just did some layoffs as well. Or even like at Free Radical, where you have an entire studio just close. But it doesn't necessarily protect you from the layoffs themselves, right? We still saw layoffs after some companies decide, or some workers at some companies decided to unionize. So my hope, I guess, at this point is that, yes, you are right. It is going to be up to smaller companies to kind of figure out where they can navigate and how, in a landscape where bigger companies are deciding that because they made $1 less than last year, they have to lay off, you know, a grand 1,900 people from their company. But hopefully what that means for the small company is that they are able to thrive and flourish and not do that in the same way.
Yeah. Yep. It's, look, I told you I was going to try to put a positive spin on this, and yeah, and it's so hard. It's just watching, especially, again, going back to, like, let's say voice acting, which is also something that I want to do in games. I know plenty of people who want to do it, but, like, there are other things as well that are in the way of that are probably also pitching into reasons why some employees are quote unquote redundant. Which just sucks. I think we're going to see a good year in gaming, but I think we're going to see a divided year in gaming as well.
Especially this year and likely next year. It's going to be a whole lot of not so good news, I'm afraid. But hang in there, folks. That's really all I can say at this point. I know Paul said that they knew of some folks who were laid off in this previous round. Honestly, I wish I could do more than say, like, my heart goes out to you. I really hope that there's a place for all of you in the industry going forward.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh boy. It's hard. It's rough. That's really the end of this episode. If you can believe
what
it.
What a tone.
It's always a tough one. And there's really no good news, right? I wish I could even talk about, like, some new releases, but most of the new releases are mired in some kind of other controversy. So, I don't know what else to do other than say, every time we do this podcast, we ask our guest for a recommendation as we move along toward the end of the show. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Well, I can tell you what game I'm on the lookout for that I will also highly recommend without even having played it yet. And it is not, the company has been mired in controversy before, but it's less mired in controversy than what we have going on.
Hooray.
Persona 3 Reload comes out next week. It's a remake of Persona 3, which is one of my favorites in the series. It looks so good. It sounds so good. I'm pumped to play it. And yeah, I think if anyone is interested in getting into the series and has been looking for a starting point, I have the feeling this is going to be the place to go in is upcoming. So
sure.
I'd say keep an eye out for that, because I'm going to be hitting that day one.
Persona 3 Reload.
Yeah.
Coming soon. Or has
no, no, next week.
Out?
Yep.
Next week. Next week. Perfect. I already said El Paso elsewhere. I'm going to also say, go check out the demo for Crow Country. If you haven't already seen it, imagine, if you will, if Silent Hill and Final Fantasy VII had a baby. It's basically that. It's really creepy. It's got the Final Fantasy VII type graphics going for it. It's got a very kind of atmospheric thing like Silent Hill. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. There's only a demo out right now. But go check out the demo. It's free, of course. And keep an eye out for when it releases, hopefully sometime this year. It's looking like planned release date 2024. So take a look at it and get ready to crow country, whatever that means. Whatever that means. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug.
So you can find me on the internet. You can find me on Twitter at Final Counselor. You can find me on Twitch, again, streaming on Thursdays usually, at The Final Counselor. And you can find me on Blue Sky, where I'm spending most of my time at this point, at Matt Bartlett VO. V-O? V-A? Might be V-A. I should have checked that before I said anything.
Uh-oh.
I'll get back to you. Let's thinking check it. Of other things to plug, if you also want to hear me, I don't think I'm on any upcoming episodes necessarily. It's Matt Bartlett V-O, by the way.
There you go.
Which you can find the spelling of on my Twitter / wherever. But I do also occasionally appear on the Queer XP, which is a wonderful podcast run by a close friend. Does actual plays, does panel discussions, does a lot of chat that might be interesting to those of us in the LGBT plus community. So yeah, feel free to go check that out, and I'll probably be on something there soon.
Very good, very good. All right, as always, you can find me on Twitter at CommieJaceGaming. Remember that you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. You can also find those same accounts on Blue Sky. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Instagram page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps the show grow. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Find Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse Corgian. DoghouseCorgian. Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_Noise. DOG_NOISE. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
And I am Matt, the Final Counselor Bartlett.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.